All right, this is Romans chapter 4. I wanted to go back through chapter 6 just very quickly before we jump into the rest of the book. I'm not going to go too much into the more exhortive type passages that we find from Romans 12 through 16. There's a couple of places I do want to hit, but Paul's more or less repeating the argument, and it's recognized in virtually every major commentary that Romans 12 through 16 is dealing with the applications of what Paul has expounded upon in Romans 1 through 8. And I'm wanting to deal more, obviously, with the doctrinal matters. Now, I wanted to make clear in chapter 6 this question where Paul, you know, asks, you know, what shall we do? Shall we remain in the sin? And I tied the sin with the aspect of the law, because that's what Paul does in 5:20 and 21. Torah entered so that the transgression, that's the transgression of Adam, made increase, and of which the sin increased. So we see that Torah is directly linked with the sin. And of course in 1 Corinthians 15, because Paul's talking about the same subject and the same matter, he talks about the law, the sting of the sin is the death, and the power of the death is the law. And so you have the law, the death, the sin. You have these three. It's an unholy trinity, as one writer in the Journal of Evangelical Theological Society put it. It's an unholy alliance. And for Paul, this has not been looked at. When Paul specifically is pointing out the sin that came through Adam, the death, that and these two principalities or powers reigned, and they reigned because the law gave them. And so therefore, grace, which we said was found in the new covenant, is where grace and salvation and reconciliation, because according to the Torah of the old covenant, no one can be righteous. And so Paul says, so that just as the sin reigned in the death, so also the grace might reign through righteousness. And it's that righteousness by faith that Paul is talking about here, for eternal life through Jesus Messiah, our Lord. So the sin is directly linked to, and I believe not to be equivocated to, or equated to rather, but is so directly linked that when Paul says, will we remain in the sin so that the grace may increase? And what he's saying is, shall we remain in the sin? Shall we remain in obedience to the Torah according to the written code? Because he ends his argument in 6:14, he ends the argument of this question, is that we no longer live according to the written code, but we live according to the new way. He concludes this, for the sin will not have dominion over you, for you are not under Torah. Now notice this, the sin will not have dominion over you, for you are not under Torah. Let me rephrase that with the theology that's behind this. For the sin will not have dominion over you, for you are not under the obligation to walk according to the written letter, the code of the old covenant. And then again he concludes with his marriage analogy that he brings up in chapter 7 in the very beginning there. He concludes that with the same, but now we have been loosed from Torah, having died in the thing that held us, so that we can serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Let me rephrase that theologically. Paul is saying, having been loosed from the sin, the Torah, having died to the thing that held us, so that we can serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the sin. So that we can serve not the sin, but we can serve now the Torah in the new covenant that is written upon our hearts. Now let's read, and this is my translation, but let's read this, chapter 6, with this type of understanding, and then we'll move on. We who died to the sin, that is, we Jews who died to the Torah, because the Torah is fulfilled in us in Christ by faith, and righteousness comes through the fullness of the Torah that is in Christ. That's Romans 8, and we've already covered that. So we've died to the sin. The sin condemns. It brought condemnation. This is what the law brought. Adam broke the law. The sin of Adam, the result of that was the death, and that brought condemnation, katakrima. We covered that in the last lecture. So to walk in the sin is a walk according to the oldness of the letter. Because if no one can be justified according to the oldness of the letter, and it's the oldness of the letter that condemns you, the law, then how in the world can you live in that anymore if you've died to that through the death of Jesus Christ and have been raised to the newness of the new covenant Torah written in your heart? How can you continue to apply to the oldness of the letter? Paul is making a justification here, an apology here, for his defense, because according to the old covenant law, Paul had to circumcise Gentiles and command them to eat certain foods and this, that, and the other, which any typical Jew would have done. And we see this over and over again in the Old Testament. That's what it commanded to be done. Paul, however, is going to the Gentiles, and he's not commanding them to be circumcised. We see this very plainly in the letter of Galatians and then throughout Acts, the book of Acts. Is Paul breaking the law? No. Paul died to the law. See? He died, and that's where he sees the significance of Jesus and his death. When Jesus, as the representative of Israel, in according to the flesh, but also he's the new man, like Adam, in a new heavens and a new earth, when Jesus died to the oldness of the letter in order to bring in the newness of righteousness, because no man could be justified as long as the oldness of the letter stood. And Hebrews covers this. You get my lecture on Hebrews, and we go through that. But Paul here is saying, the reason why I'm not circumcising Gentiles and being accused of breaking the law, well, according to the oldness of the letter, I am breaking the law. But I'm not breaking it because I'm dead to it. So how can I break that which I'm dead and no longer obligated to? I cannot remain in the sin. I cannot remain in the relationship of the sin that comes through the law and the sin and the death that reigns as a result of the law and standing in condemnation before God. I cannot be condemned by that. I cannot walk anymore according to that. I cannot remain in the sin because I've been put to death in Christ. So I'm not obligated to obey the oldness of the letter. And he has to spell this out to the Jew, because what he's telling the Jew here, who is being converted to Messiah, is not to circumcise the Gentiles, not to make them eat meat on certain days. And Romans 14 talks about this. Why? Because you've been set free from the old code. You don't have to make this obligatory to the Gentiles anymore. You can now dwell with them because Christ has made the two one. There are no Jews or Gentiles in the new covenant. The new covenant does not recognize these distinctions. The old covenant did, the oldness of the letter did, and if you walk according to the oldness of the letter, you're remaining in the sin. Therefore, you're remaining in the condemnation that comes through, because no man will be justified according to the oldness of the letter. To walk according to the oldness of the letter meant you're remaining in the sin, and to remain in the sin means that death and sin reign over you because the law condemns you. You're walking in condemnation. So Paul's not breaking the law. Paul was put to death in Christ. He's dead to the law, and that's what he's telling these Jews. You're dead to the law. You're set free to marry another Christ. See? You're set free, my fellow brother, my fellow Israelite. Is what Paul is saying. In Romans 9, he jumps in, my fellow brother, my Israelite brother, my kinsman according to the flesh, I'm telling you that Jesus and faith in Jesus sets you free from the oldness of the letter, that you no longer have to walk according to that. I do not have to circumcise the Gentiles according to the flesh, according to the oldness of the letter that commanded me to do that, because I died to the oldness of the letter and I've come into the newness of the letter that is now applied to my heart. And the circumcision that I do apply in fullness of what Moses preached, Romans chapter 10, and what Moses preached, that I am applying. Because these Gentiles, these congregations that I have established through the preaching of my gospel, the Spirit of God has been poured out in their hearts, and the Torah is written in their hearts, and they do the things of the law according to the newness of the letter. They're walking in the newness of the letter. And you who continue to remain in the oldness of the letter and walk accordingly to the oldness of the letter, you're remaining in the sin. And therefore, you're remaining in your condemnation. You are the lawbreaker, not me. Now, get a hold of this, because this is what makes sense. Now, here he says, after talking about the death and resurrection of Christ and the likeness of Christ, notice that that word likeness does not imply that I was nailed on a cross. I wasn't nailed on a cross. Paul wasn't nailed on any cross. It's the likeness of Christ's death. Well, so it's the likeness of his resurrection. It doesn't mean that my body's going to come floating up out of a tomb somewhere, you know, in exact likeness of Jesus, any more than the likeness of the death on the cross. The resurrection is a spiritual application of the reality that Jesus, in the reality of his individual death, in his individual resurrection of his individual body, is in the likeness of my death and is substituted for my death so that he died in my place, so that I don't have to die in order to get eternal life, and neither does my physical body have to be raised, or do I have to get a new body in order to get eternal life, because I'm put to death in Christ as my substitute, and he's also my substitutionary resurrection in the likeness of the resurrection of life. His resurrection life is applied to you, so that you are now one raised from the dead. This is the resurrection of the dead. And it is this that Israel and many of my preterist brothers and most of Christianity does not get. They do in many ways, but they don't get this aspect of it. And then Paul says to the Jew, knowing this, that our old man, that's the old man that walked according to the old covenant. See that word old? That's old covenant, because he concludes this argument with the oldness of the letter and the newness of the spirit. New covenant, old covenant, according to the flesh, according to the spirit. So the old man is the man that walked according to the covenant that was under the condemnation that came through Adam, that was under the law of Israel that was given to increase and show his sin for what it was, that he was not righteous, no one is righteous, and that he stands condemned before God and cannot possibly justify himself by walking according to the oldness of the letter. He's the old man. Well, that old man has been crucified in Christ, so that the body, singular, of the sin be destroyed. And of that body, we no longer serve the sin. Of that body, Paul's still a Jew, he identifies himself. Of that body, that body of sin is destroyed, so that that body, we no longer serve the sin, i.e., we no longer walk according to the oldness of the letter. Now let's follow this out. For he who has died has been declared righteous from the sin. And that's what these people were about to be declared, Romans chapter 4 that we talked about. They're about to be declared righteous from the sin, from the oldness of the covenant. Now, if we died with Messiah, we believe also that we will live with him, knowing that Messiah, having been raised out of the dead, no longer dies. Death, as far as he concerned, no longer rules, for in that which he died to the sin, see, he died to the oldness of the letter. He died once and for all. And in that he lives to God. So you can't live to God and walk according to the oldness of the letter in the old covenant. So you, plural, account yourselves dead to the sin, but alive to God and Messiah Jesus. Do not let then the sin, which you're not to remain in, the sin, the oldness of the letter, walking according to the oldness of the written code, do not let that reign in your mortal body, singular, of you, plural. In the mortal body of you, plural. The Greek is in the mortal body of you. What is the mortal body? Well, it's the body of the sin to be destroyed. It was the nation of Israel. It was the body that was identified, the natural body that is identified with Adam. Paul develops this in 1 Corinthians 15. It's the natural body. And that's tied with the old man. But in Christ, that body is put to death for those that are in Christ Jesus. The mortal body, singular of you, it's a mortal body. Why is it a mortal body? Because it's subjected to the reign of death. The death rules over it. It's mortal. It is not immortal. It is mortal. Now, Paul's not talking about individual physical bodies here. This would break down the entire... This is what causes confusion when we read Romans 6. Do not let then the sin reign in the mortal body of you in order to obey its lusts. Now, Paul in Romans 7 is going to talk about this word lust, because the law, living under the oldness of the letter, what did it do? Produced in me all kinds of lusts and covetous desires and lusts. So what Paul is saying here is, don't let the old covenant reign among you so that you obey its lusts, because that's what it produced. Neither offer your members as instruments of unrighteousness to the sin. In walking according to the oldness of the letters, according to the old covenant, the Jews would be yielding themselves over to the unrighteousness, because that's what it produced. It did not produce righteousness. It produced unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God. Now, how do you do that? Well, he just said, count yourselves as one who lives to God in Messiah Jesus. as living out of the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness. What righteousness? The righteousness by faith to God. For the sin, the oldness of the covenant, the condemnation, the death that comes with that, will not have dominion over you, for you're not under Torah. See? If you're under Torah, and if you're living according to Torah, according to the written code, guess what? Sin has dominion over you. But if you have faith in Christ, you have been buried and put to death in Christ, and you're dead, therefore, to the obligations of the written code, and therefore sin does not have dominion over you. Sin only has dominion over you if you walk according to the oldness of the letter. If you do not walk according to the oldness of the letter, but follow in the newness of the Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ and have the righteousness of Torah applied to you through faith because of the fullness of what Christ accomplished, then the sin has no dominion over you. Because you do not walk according to the oldness of the letter, but you're now walking according to the newness of the Spirit, like me, Paul. That's what Paul is saying. You're not under Torah, but under grace. But here's the question. Well, what then? Will we sin because we are not under Torah, but under grace? In other words, here it cuts right to Paul's ministry. Because Paul did not circumcise Gentiles, was that a sin? Well, according to Torah, it was. Torah of the written code, it was a sin. Paul was directly disobeying it. So does the law promote sin? Am I going to sin now that I stop circumcising Gentiles and stop requiring that they celebrate holy days and proselytizing them and making them proselytes and coming under the law according to the written? Am I promoting sin now? And Paul's saying, no. No. You're in the newness of the letter. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as servants for obedience, servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Now this obedience unto righteousness, Paul said in Romans chapter 2, which we already covered, Paul talked about an obedience of the Torah that will be declared righteous. Those who obey the Torah will be declared righteous. Well, how do you do that? You walk in the newness of the letter and have the fullness of obedience of Christ applied and imputed to you in the righteousness of Christ by faith. But thanks be to God that you were servants of the sin. You did walk according to the oldness of the letter. But you obeyed the forming of teaching to which you were delivered up. That's the gospel. And having been set free from the sin, which came through the law, which came through the sin of Adam. And so the law gave the sin its power. That's Romans 7. He's getting ready to say that the law gave the sin its power. But if I'm not walking according to the law of the written code anymore, of which gives it sin its power, then how can I be under sin and remain in it anymore? I'm not condemned by God. Having been servants, and having been set free from the sins, having become servants of the righteousness. See, now you're slaves to the righteousness by faith that is in the new covenant, the new Torah that is written in the heart. I am speaking in human terms, because your flesh is weak. What he means here is that he's speaking in terms of the servant master to better present a picture of the reality of the spiritual experience. See? He's got to understand these things. For just as you presented your members as servants to impurity and to the Torah-lessness, unto further Torah-lessness, so now present your members servants to the righteousness, the new covenant, unto holiness. For when you were servants of the sin, i.e. under the old covenant, you were freemen from the righteousness. See? Because why? Well, when you walked according to the oldness of the covenant, no one is declared righteous. You weren't even around it. You were freemen according to righteousness. You were free from the righteousness. What fruit, then, did you have then in the things of which you were now ashamed? See, what fruit did walking according to the old covenant bear? Paul's going to end that. He's going to answer that. For the end of those things, walking according to the old covenant, is death. But now, having been set free from the sin which comes through the law, and having become servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness. And the end, that's the very end coming soon, eternal life. For the wages of the sin, let me backtrack. For the wages of walking according to the old covenant and seeking justification according to the oldness of the letter, death. But the gift of God, this is Romans 5, but the gift of God, eternal life in Messiah Jesus our Lord. Be not ignorant, brothers, for the ones knowing Torah, I'm speaking. He's speaking to the Jews here. that the Torah has dominion over a man. Now it's not the sin that has dominion over you. It's the Torah. See, he can interchange the sin and the Torah. He can go back and forth. To say that the sin has dominion over you is the same thing as the saying that the oldness of the letter has dominion over you when you walk according and seek justification according to the oldness of the letter. If you're seeking justification according to the oldness of the letter, you're under the sin, you're under the death, you're under the Torah, you're condemned. The Torah has dominion over the man as long as he's lives, but the married woman, to the living husband is bound by Torah. But if the husband dies, she's been loosed from the Torah of the husband. Therefore, she will be called an adulteress of the living husband if she comes to another man. But if the husband dies, okay, but if there's death, then she is free from the Torah and not an adulteress, having come to another man. So, my brothers, also you have died in Christ through baptism to the Torah, through the body. See? Through the body. Here's another body. Now we have a body of sin and a mortal body, and now we have this other body through the body of Messiah. So we have the body of the sin, and now we have the body of the Messiah. Didn't Paul talk about this in 1 Corinthians 15, the natural body and the spiritual body? It's the same thing that he's talking about here. If you walk in the natural body, you're walking under the old covenant and you're seeking justification according to your works. That's the natural body. That's the body of condemnation. The new body, to come into the spiritual body, to be transformed from the old man and transformed and brought in as made and made members of the body of Christ, that's resurrection of the dead. And it's the likeness of the individual Son of God that accomplished that for us by taking our place in his death and in his resurrection. Okay, through the body of Messiah in order to come to another, to the one out of the dead who has been raised, so that you may bear fruit to God. For when you were in the flesh, now notice this phrase, in the flesh, what does that mean? Well, all of these phrases parallel together. To be in the flesh is to live under the sin. To live under the sin is to be condemned by the Torah. To walk according to the oldness of the letter is to live according to the flesh. For when you were in the flesh, i.e. walking according to the old covenant, the passions of the sins, which he's going to talk about in Romans 7, the law came and it produced all these passions in him, through which the Torah were working in your members to bear fruit unto the death. See? You did all of this work. You did all of these commands, all of these temple sacrifices, all of these proselytizations of the nations. You did all of these types of things. And what did it bear? Isaiah says, we have not given birth to salvation to the peoples of the world. This is Isaiah 26. What did it bear for Israel? What did it get them? Death. Why? Because they're under the death. Why? Because they're walking according to the oldness of the letter. And that all that that's going to produce is death, the sin, destruction, and the increase of sin, wrath, all of those things. That's what it's going to produce. That's all it's going to produce. And it will produce nothing else. Now, why is that? Well, because that's what happened to Adam. Blame Adam. Okay? So that you may bear fruit to God, for when you were in the flesh, the passions of the sins, which through the Torah were working in the members to bear fruit unto the death, but now we have been loosed from the Torah. We Jews, who were once under Torah, we've been loosed from the Torah. He's not talking to Gentiles here. Gentiles were never under the old covenant Torah. They were proselytized and brought in and demanded to be, but they were never made in covenant. God's covenant with Abraham was for all nations to be blessed under the Torah. It was not to the Gentiles. The new covenant was applied to the Gentiles, and that's what Abraham is referring to. Now we have been loosed from the Torah, having died in the thing that held us. What held them? Well, the law held them, see? So that we can serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What then shall we say? Is the Torah sin? May it not be. On the contrary, I did not know the sin unless through the Torah. So the Torah is not sin. It cannot be sin if God has transformed the law and it's the Torah that's written in your heart. The Torah does not promote sin. See? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Those are all good things. And Paul is going to talk about those in Romans 12 through 16. Having a priest and making sacrifices and the sacrifice of the lips of your praise. See, let me jump forward here real quick. Because Paul sees even the obedience that arises, that comes out of the Torah. You're obeying Torah because Torah is written in your hearts. Listen to how Paul says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, that's Levitical language, holy and pleasing to God, a Levitical phrase, which is your spiritual worship. See? Which is your spiritual worship. So, do Christians still offer sacrifices in the temple of God to the high priest and the divine priesthood? Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So is the Torah promoting sin? No. Torah, according to the flesh, produces sin and covetousness desires, and to continue to walk according to that would be to sin against God because He's establishing a new covenant and a new Torah written in the heart, a spiritual Torah, a full Torah. And so according to the new Torah that God is establishing, it would be sin to continue to walk according to the old. Now, wherefore, the way of thinking of the flesh is hostility to God, for it cannot submit to the Torah of God. That is the new Torah, the meaning of the Torah, it cannot submit to. Neither is it able. See, it's not able to do it. Here's another reason why I don't believe in free will. It's not able to do it. It doesn't have the ability. If you walk apart from Christ, you do not have the ability to please God apart from Christ. You can't do it. For those things in the flesh, Old Covenant, are not able to please God. Sacrifices and offerings, God said, I'm not pleased with those things. Why? Because you're doing it in the body of Adam. That's a mortal body. That's a body of the sin. It's the body of the sin that's offering me a sacrifice thinking that it's going to please me. Your problem goes far more deeper than just cutting a few animals' heads off and squirting some blood all over the place. If you think that that solves your problem, you haven't met my first creation. His name's Adam. You haven't come in contact with him. You need to come in contact with him to understand where you're at with me. Because I drove him out of my presence and separated him from the tree of life, from eternal life. I separated him from that. And you think that sprinkling some blood is going to bring you near to that? Think again. But you were not in flesh. Now this would make no sense if Paul's definition of flesh here meant physical bodies. Because I'm looking at my hairy arm right now, and I'm guaranteeing to you I'm in the flesh. That's not what he's talking about here. But you're not in flesh. You're not walking according to the oldness of the letter. But in spirit, you're walking according to the spirit of the life that is in Messiah Jesus, the new covenant. If, in fact, the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. Now, if someone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, this one is not of Messiah. Oop, there goes universalism. But if Messiah is in you, the body, on one hand, is dead. That's the old man, okay? Than an embodiment of is nothing more than an embodiment of Adam. It is Adam. It's natural. It's a natural body. And it needed to be put to death and transformed and brought into the body of Messiah, raised from the dead in the likeness of his resurrection. See? Now you tell me if Paul is using all of these language here about body and death and body death and people dying and I died according, if all of that is literal. Paul is talking about spiritual reality here. Who will deliver me? Who will raise me from the dead is what Paul's asking. Who will raise me from the dead? Who will deliver me from the body of the death? Who's going to raise me from the dead? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore I myself do indeed give service to the Torah of God in my mind, but in the flesh I give service to the Torah of sin. See, according to the flesh, in my mind that's written in my heart, I give service, I serve the Torah of God in my mind, in my flesh, in the spiritual realm, understanding that the high priest is Jesus, the temple is spiritual. These are mental intellectual things that we understand in our spirit and in our mind, because you can't see them. But in the flesh, if he lived according to the flesh, he gives service to the Torah of the sin. See the two distinctions that are there. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to the ones in Messiah Jesus. For the Torah of the Spirit of life, the new covenant, see, here we go. I love this phrase. For the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah Jesus. That's all one phrase. See? For the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah Jesus. That's new covenant Torah. That's new covenant Torah. Okay? Has set you, singular, free from the Torah of the sin and of the death. Here you have two Torahs. Actually, one. You have the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah, New Covenant. And then you have the Torah of the sin and of the death that came through the one man, Adam. Okay? And you cannot serve both of them. The Torah through the sin and of the death produced a natural body, a mortal body, a body that could be reigned over by the death and by the sin through the condemnation of the law. Adam became a mortal body, and his mortal body and all that are in Adam is a part of that singular mortal body. And this would include Israel. This was an old man. Okay? Like father, like son. And Adam is the father of all the living. Alright? So you have that body. What did Adam produce? He produced a body of the death. He produced a body of the sin. Romans 6. Body of the death is found in Romans 7. Mortal body. It's a mortal body is a body that is ruled over by the death. That's a mortal body. Doesn't mean physical death. You're ruled over by death whether you're alive or whether you're physically dead, because when you die, you do not go to heaven and enjoy the bliss of God. Abraham did not go to heaven and enjoy the bliss of God. Hebrews explicitly states that. He did not inherit the promises. See? And that's explicitly stated. Why didn't Abraham, when upon his physical death, immediately go into the heavenly bliss of God? Because he needed to be put to death. He's in Adam. He needed to wait for the resurrection of Christ, which would bring him out of the death. Christ being the firstborn of those that are of the dead. And Christ and those that God has elect would bring them out of Hades or Sheol, out of the grave, and bring them into the righteousness of God that is by faith according to the new covenant, the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah Jesus. Israel was not given the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah Jesus. They were given the Torah of the sin and then of the death, the Torah that meant to increase the sin, to show you for what you were in Adam, to show you that you were a mortal body. You were a sin body, a body of the sin. You were a body of the death. If you can see all of humanity up until the time of the last Adam, Jesus Christ, as one body, and with the introduction of Christ, the man of the new heavens and the new earth, the new Adam, in the new creation, and those in him as forming a, what Paul says in Ephesians, one new man. It's a new covenant man. This is a new body. This is a transformed body, because it took those of the old body that were of Adam and transformed them and made them members of a new body, the body of Christ. See, those that are in Christ are of the body of Christ. They've been transformed and brought out of that old body of Adam and brought into the new body of Christ in the likeness of his resurrection. Any more than I see this, I see how foolish it is, both in the preterist exegesis of some, and most in the futurist exegesis, that Paul's talking about individual physical back hair and shin and bone parts, you know, and toenails and stuff like that. He's not talking about that. my physical flesh is not sinful. The fact that I've got pimples, you know, and a couple of scars from, you know, racing my bike doesn't mean that's sinful. So Paul, the context is entirely different here. It's entirely different. These are spiritual things. They're spiritual things. These are things of the mind. You have to grasp them by the mind. You have to understand these things. And once you understand them and see them, and the Old Testament teaches this stuff, then you can understand what Paul is talking about. For the inability of the Torah, in that it was weak through the flesh, so God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering. He condemned sin. We've covered this. In the flesh, so that the righteous ordinance of Torah be fulfilled in us. The ones no longer walk. Now listen to this. The ones no longer walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me rephrase that. So that the righteous ordinance of Torah be fulfilled in us. Now that righteous ordinance of the Torah being fulfilled in us is the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah Jesus. Okay? The righteous ordinance of the Torah be fulfilled in us, New Covenant. The ones no longer walking according to the oldness of the letter. The ones no longer walking in the body of Adam, performing a bunch of laws, seeking to be justified while in Adam, while in his body. You can't be justified while in the body of Adam. You have to be put to death and made alive. The seed has to be planted, and that seed has to be put to death in order to be made alive. Okay? The seed has to be planted and put to death after it's planted and then made alive. And that's what Paul's talking about here. The ones no longer walking according to the flesh, according to the Torah of the Old Covenant, according to the oldness of the letter, but according to the Spirit, according to the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah Jesus, the New Covenant. See? That's what Paul's saying here. We got about, looks like 10 minutes here. For the ones who walk according to the flesh, and remember Paul in Philippians says their God is their bellies, you know, and their minds are on the flesh, and Paul says we were circumcised, and we can boast according to the flesh, I can boast. See? Those walking according to the flesh, now charismatics and Pentecostalists and Baptists say this, well, walking according to the flesh, that means smoking a cigarette or having a beer or, you know, going to an R-rated movie or, you know, that's walking according to the flesh. That's not, Paul's, walking according to the flesh means walking according to the oldness of the covenant if you keep in context with what Paul is saying here. The Jews who are walking according to the flesh are thinking of the things of the flesh, circumcision of the flesh, what they eat, what goes into their body. But the ones who are walking according to the Spirit, according to the New Covenant, are thinking of the things of the Spirit. For the way of the thinking of the flesh, Old Covenant, is death. He just spelled this out in 6, chapter 6. But the way of thinking of the Spirit is what? Eternal life and peace. Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have peace with God through the New Covenant. Wherefore, the way of thinking of the flesh, Old Covenant, is hostility to God. Romans chapter 1. That's why Paul could condemn them. You, O man, you're the lawbreaker. You who think that you're justified by the law and you think you're a teacher of the blind, you yourself are blind. You're so blind you don't even know it. You're in hostility to God because you're resisting the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, Stephen said, as we covered in chapter 1, or lecture 1. So you're in hostility to God. Paul did not think that he was in hostility to God when he was called Saul. He did not think that he was in hostility to God, but he was, wasn't he? He was persecuting Jesus himself. He was in hostility to God. He was a God-hater. And all the while, he claimed to be a God-lover. The very thing that he desired and the good that he wanted to do, because the condemnation and the sin and the death that he was under because he was in the body of Adam, he could not do. He claimed to love God. He didn't love God. He hated God. And he had to be convinced of that fact, that he was a God-hater. And he was insolent and arrogant and proud and boastful. The very things that God hates was the very things that the sin through the law that Paul was walking according to in the flesh, the very thing that he was promoting. Man, that's you got to grasp that. It's a paradox that's there. But it can be worked out. For the way of the thinking of the flesh is hostility to God, for it cannot submit to the Torah of God. Neither is... But if Messiah is in you, the body, on one hand, is dead on account of sin, but the spirit is life on account of righteousness. Now, we've talked about the body. We've talked about the body of the death, the body of the sin. And notice here he says, if Messiah is in you, talking to the Jew, living according to the old covenant, if Messiah is in you, then you're dead. The body, on one hand, is dead on account of sin, but the spirit, see, the seed is planted, And that seed must die, but it's also made alive. But the spirit is life on account of what? Righteousness by faith, the righteousness in Romans chapter 3 that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But now, in the gospel, a righteousness is being revealed from heaven. It's this righteousness that Paul began talking about in chapter 1 that he's talking about here right now. The body is dead. The old man is dead. The body of the sin is dead. The body of the death is dead. You're delivered from that body. How are you delivered? In that transition generation, whilst the old covenant was vanishing and fading and disappearing, the new covenant was being established and transforming from glory to glory. See, the Spirit of God was making alive that old body in Adam of those that were elect of God and called of God to be brought forth into the glorious inheritance that was promised to Abraham and to Noah and to Enoch, all of those that wanted and waited for the inheritance of God. The body, Adam, those that were in Adam, and those that were called out of the body of Adam to be transformed and brought into the Spirit, into the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, Romans chapter 7. See, the spirit is life. Now, the body here is singular. It's not talking, again, about physical, individual bodies. The translations get it wrong here. The right translation is, but if Messiah is in you, the body, on one hand, is dead on account of sin. But the spirit is life on account of righteousness. That new covenant life is what brings life, and it's that life that is the new life, that is newness of life, having been put to death in Christ, and that newness of life in the likeness of his resurrection. It's resurrection life. There is only one life. There is not spiritual life, and then when you die, you're going to get raised again from the dead and get a new spiritual body and have another life. So that would be lives, plural, that it's one life. It's spiritual life. It's new covenant life. And if you're in Messiah, you have new covenant life and you've been raised from the dead. Raised from out of the dead. And if the Spirit of God, or the one having raised Jesus Christ out of the dead, dwells in you, then the one having raised Messiah out of the dead ones will also make alive. Here's the future aspect of this transition that is going on, that would end at the parousia of Christ, when the death would be swallowed up in victory. The death that came through the Adam, which was activated in the old covenant, which increased the sin. See, you've got the sin, the death, and the law, always, for Paul. Will also make alive the mortal bodies of you on account of the indwelling of his spirit. Now, what does this mean, make alive of the mortal bodies? Well, we've already talked about the mortal body. Paul has already mentioned this mortal body, and we know that this was in context of, in chapter 6, that this was in context of the covenantal aspect that he was dealing with at the beginning of chapter 6. The mortal body is the body of the death in chapter 7, the body of sin, the mortal body. It's the body of Adam that they once belonged to, but now by faith were being transformed and brought into the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, Paul could speak of it in that singular sense, which he most often does, but then because there are individuals that are members of the body of Christ, the singular body of Christ, he could also present them as mortal bodies, because each of our individual body represents the totality or the solidarity that we have in the concept of the corporal body of Adam. So the mortal bodies of you. Why are they mortal bodies? You're characterized in Paul according to what body you belong to. If you belong to the body of Christ, you're characterized by that as being a member of the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ that characterizes you as being in the body of Christ. And Paul could talk about your immortal bodies, because we're members, plural, of the singular body of Christ. So what characterizes us is what body we belong to. If you belong to the mortal body, the body of the death, the body of sin, of the sin, then you're a mortal body. Individually, you represent a mortal body. If you belong to the body of Christ, you represent an immortal body. I belong to Christ, therefore I have an immortal body. I represent an immortal body. Individually, I represent that, but I only represent that as I am in solidarity with the singular body of Christ, just as having mortal bodies represents individually that which was I in solidarity with in the mortal body, which was Adam. Okay? So that there's two bodies, and there's many bodies that belong to these two bodies. There's many bodies that belong to the body of Adam. There's many bodies that belong to the body of Christ. But it's the singular concept of the body that defines the individuals that are in each of those respective bodies. If you're in the body of Adam, you're walking according to the old covenant, and you're unrighteous. If you're in the body of Christ, you're righteous, and you've come to newness of life being raised in Christ. And the death has been swallowed up in victory at the parousia of Christ at his second coming. Well, man, are we going to get through this? No, we're not. I'll continue to read 8. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, which is walking according to the flesh of the old covenant. See, they're not debtors. This is Paul's whole point. Paul is no longer a debtor to the old covenant, to the written code. He's no longer a debtor to that. He's no longer owing a debt to circumcise Gentiles and walk according to the oldness of the letter. Because if you live according to the flesh, i.e. the old covenant, you are about to die. But if according to the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now what would they mean by putting to death the deeds of the body? Well, that's what Paul was doing. By not circumcising Gentiles, he's putting to death the deeds of the body, of which he was formerly ashamed, the deeds of the mortal body, that body that was under the old covenant, that body that was sown, that body that was of Adam, the natural body. He was putting to death those deeds because the fruit of that life was death. But now the fruit of the life that is in the body of Christ is eternal life. So if you put to death the deeds of the body, stop walking according to the flesh, according to the written code, you will live. For as many as are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now he's going to talk about sons of God in Romans 9 through 11. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery again unto fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, of which we are crying, Abba, the Father. The same Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. This again is the theme of Romans chapter 9. And if children, then heirs, heirs indeed of God, fellow heirs of Messiah, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. That glorification, when the mortal body is swallowed up completely, when the death is destroyed. When the death is destroyed, those that are in Christ, the mortal body was swallowed up entirely for those in Christ. And they completely and entirely came into the fullness of Christ, so that God is all in all. He's all in me, and I am all in him, and we become one with the Father. And then Paul, of course, goes into the reasonings of the present time that are not worthy to be compared with the glory about to be revealed in us. For the eager longing of the creature, the revelation of the sons of God, it eagerly awaits. Now, he talks about this revelation of the sons of God, and unfortunately, we're at 45 minutes here, so I'm going to have to stop. And it looks like we're going to have a fifth lecture on this, and deal with Romans 9 through 11, and then and let it go at that. So again, thank you for listening, and we'll stop there.